Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye, Rose, is the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:11 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It is the 5th of July, the day after the 4th, and we do work every single day except for Christmas. So, yay, we are here, and if you're there, then we're glad to be all together. Julio Diaz hosts the Pensacola Expert Panel. I got Jake
Maybe.
On my head.
Maybe.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, things could change. He hosts the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook and also Let's Go Pensacola 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio. Julio, welcome back to the show, sir.
Oh, thank you for the promotion, Andrew. Does that come with a raise?
Yeah, sure. Why not? You know, well, you know, anything could be true. you watched Maxine this week. Is that right?
I did, yeah. This is
the part where you add details.
I'm just still stunned by the promotion. So Maxine is the third in a series of films that started with the movie X a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay, that semi-porno that was about a porno. So, yeah.
Yeah, X was set in the '70s. It was a slasher movie that was the events happened during the making of a porn film. Then they surprise at the very end of the movie as like a after credit scene, there was a trailer for a whole other movie that nobody knew that this director Ty West had shot at the same time, called Pearl, that was about the villain of X, if you will.
Okay.
Both the female lead and this character Pearl were played by Mia Goth, and so this movie was a prequel that was set in. I guess like the 1930s, about a young Midwestern girl who wanted to be a star that was also played by Mia Goth. She played Pearl. So it's kind of her origin story.
Okay.
So now we're jumping back forward, and this is the sequel to X. Maxine is the main character, again played by Mia Goth. And she has become a pretty big star in the porn world, but she's trying to break out of that and break into legitimate film. And so this is a story that happens during the course of that. And this one is more of a tribute to like 80s grindhouse revenge movies. So
okay.
I think like the one I think it probably has the most in common with is there's a movie called Angel that I don't know if you remember that was about a young woman who was a high school student by day and a Hollywood hooker
by
night.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I do actually remember that. Okay.
So it's got a lot in common with that, but it's also got a lot in common with movies like Death Wish.
Yeah.
And
the more modern, revamped versions of the old movies, right.
That kind of like 80s, like a revenge thriller, but still with some horror elements to it. It's got a lot of gore to it. A lot of people have gotten really interested in this director, Ty West, so he's got a really great cast this time with Kevin Bacon and Giancarlo Esposito and Elizabeth Debicki. And so she's, you know, kind of navigating these two worlds while she's being pursued by a killer. This is in the midst of the whole Night Stalker thing, which was, you know, if you're familiar with true crime, big serial killer in LA in the 80s. So it's this really like interesting mix of stuff. I really loved it. I was a huge fan of the first two movies. I don't think this one's quite as good as the first two, but just as a big movie buff in general, just loving all the references.
Interesting
that are
concept,
in that.
Yeah. Hey, we're gonna have to go really quick through the remainder. But the one I know a lot of people are interested in, Despicable Me 4, fourth verse, same as the first three, basically.
Yeah, same as the first three plus the two Minions.
Oh, that's right.
You know, we've had quite a few in this world. Again, this is one that's critic proof. The reviews are not super great on it. It's like 53% Rotten Tomatoes, but the families are going to love this
one. Of course,
one.
The kids are going to love it, yeah.
All the cast is back, and new villain voiced by Will Ferrell, and Gru and his wife now have a new son who loves the family and hates Gru.
Perfect, sounds awesome.
That's where the comedy's going to come in, yeah.
And then the last two, Kinds of Kindness and Fly Me to the Moon?
Kinds of Kindness is the follow-up to last year's big Oscar winner Poor Things with Emma Stone again teaming with director Yorgos Lanthimos. Another great cast in this one with Jesse Plemons and Margaret Qualley, and just, you know, really great cast. There's a lot of overlapping stories. The reviews are kind of a little bit mixed on this, which surprised me because this is such a, you know, an acclaimed group of people working on this film, but running in the 70s on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. What are you guys going to watch next week, Julio?
Not sure yet, but as soon as I do know, it will be up in the Facebook group.
Perfect. Julio Diaz is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio, and the founder and host of the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. Julio, thanks for the time this morning, sir. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. 816 News Radio Pensacola. We've got traffic now with Jake.
All right. Roads are looking great this morning. I-10 and I-110 look like they are clear. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. If you're coming out of Milton through Pace on Highway 90 this morning, no accidents reported along your way. And looking over here in the town here, we got Cervantes is clear through the curve on Scenic Highway, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox all checking in good. And no slowdowns on Bayfront Parkway. If you do see anything out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know. Call or text our traffic tip line, 437 1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
If you've got any kind of plumbing issue, you've got a leak, a drip, a bit of Tupperware you want to recover from underneath, come on, you're better than this. You know, don't live like that. Call Burberry Plumbing. They'll take care of you. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. 477-8782 for Burberry Plumbing.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
In 1976, the Blue Angels were kept busy taking part in air shows across the country. America was in the midst of the year-long bicentennial celebration, and the Blue Angels were in great demand. June 15th of 76 was also the 30th anniversary of the very first performance of the Blue Angels. During the 76 season, the squadron flew 80 shows, including a huge 4th of July performance at NAS Willow Grove, Pennsylvania. The season ended on October 21st with their homecoming show on board NAS Pensacola. The following season began tragically with the loss of a plane and pilot during winter training at El Centro. Lieutenant Niall Kraft was flying in the number 6 jet when his plane went down. Because there wasn't enough time before the start of the season to select and train a new pilot, Lieutenant Vance Parker, who had flown in 74 and 75, returned to the Blue Angels for the remainder of the year. The Blue Angels passed a special milestone on October 8, 1977 in Atlanta when they flew their 2,000th public demonstration. During the 1980 season, the Blue Angels performed their breathtaking air shows in 48 U.S. cities plus Canada and Puerto Rico. It was after an April show in Puerto Rico that they added life-saving to their list of accomplishments. While en route to their home base in Pensacola, Fat Albert, the C-130 transport plane, heard a Mayday distress call come over the radio. A 10-seater civilian plane was far from shore and desperately low on fuel. Worse, they were lost and couldn't find any land on which to put down the plane. Though in contact with the Miami control tower, they were unable to get a radar position to guide them to safety. If they weren't found quickly, they would certainly crash at sea. So Fat Albert veered off course to search for the lost plane. Once the small craft was sighted, Fat Albert flew in close to escort her to a small island with an airstrip. The lost plane touched down with less than 3 minutes of fuel remaining in her tanks. Fat Albert, having saved the lives of all on board, flew home. I'll be back with more after this.
This history of the Blue Angels is brought to you by Naval Aviation Museum Foundation.
One of Pensacola's native sons flies with the Blue Angels. Then tragedy strikes. Next time on News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Save thousands at the 4th of July Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo at the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds this Thursday through Sunday. See the largest selection of major brand hot tubs and Michael Phelps signature swim spas up to 50% off. Free Yeti cooler to the first five hot tubs and a free outdoor pizza oven to the first five swim spas sold daily. Financing available with payments as low as $79 at the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds this Thursday through Sunday. Visit FloridaHotTubExpo.com.
On September 11th, 2001, an operations officer placed a call asking if a crew could be ready to fly. U.S. Naval Aviator Aaron Dimmock answered that call. Working largely in silence, Dimmock defended America. Now he's ready to answer the call yet again. Pro-Trump conservative Aaron Dimmock for Congress. Florida Patriots PAC, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FloridaPatriotsPAC.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Cable News Network, more commonly known as CNN. Unfortunately, after decades of reliable favoritism towards our denomination, the causes dear to us Wokeites, and full advocacy for the people of the Holy Acronym String, our once faithful partner in culture shaping has abandoned its duty. As you are all painfully aware, CNN and its star thought leaders Jake Tapper and Dana Bash recently moderated the most abysmal presidential debate in American history, a catastrophe so total that it may well have handed the presidency back to him who shall not be named. And what was the nature of CNN's grave sin? Allowing the debate to take place at all, let alone all the ways in which they contributed to the debacle it became. We all know that dear leader Biden is no longer mentally fit for office. This has been obvious for several years and is the reason his press conferences are scripted. The reporters are called on in order by picture. He doesn't do live interviews or press conferences, and everything possible has been done to hide his physical infirmities from the public eye, especially as he walks to Marine One or stumbles up the kiddie stairs onto Air Force One. That's why CNN had a duty to protect the president from himself, ideally by not hosting such a debate at all. But at least if they were going to do it in such a way that kept Biden's secret safe from those silly American voters. Moreover, Tapper and Bash directly failed in their duty to fact-check the former liar-in-chief during his dozens of erroneous claims, especially when they knew that Grandpa Joe was not going to have the assistance of his precious note cards or an aide in his ear supplying him with those key facts or a teleprompter to read answers from. Also, CNN callously enabled the American people to see Mr. Biden on the split screen, which revealed many of the blank stare and elder moments that made it impossible to simply blame his poor performance on a cold or a jet lag or being overprepared or simply not feeling great. Finally, they foolishly held the debate at 9 o'clock in the evening, extending it to nearly 11 o'clock by the end, putting the president a full 7 hours outside his well-known awake and alert window of 10 to 4. Debating 3 hours after the buffeting hour? No, CNN, you should have known better in a dozen different ways, and it was your duty to protect our beloved 46th president from the prying eyes of the American electorate, just like ABC News and George Stephanopoulos are preparing to do this weekend with a taped and carefully edited interview on This Week. We owe this man everything. He brought us gay marriage, pushing Obama into advocacy before he was ready. He brought us the Violence Against Women Act. He gave us the first black female vice president and Supreme Court justice, and he even brought us student loan forgiveness. And you couldn't protect him from the cameras for an hour and a half? Shame on you, CNN. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the United States Supreme Court, or at least Justices John Roberts, Neil Gorsuch, Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett, who recently ruled that presidents are completely immune from prosecution for crimes they commit in using their core powers and are presumptively immune from prosecution for crimes they commit in using their non-core powers as well. Now, following the apparent loss of the White House due to CNN's treasonous debate failure, meaning that he who shall not be named will surely become president again, we now stand utterly horrified at the indemnification given to him to commit virtually any atrocity and suffer no consequences for it. But there is a silver lining to this dark cloud of jurisprudential malpractice. Our current president now needs have no fear that anything he does to misuse his power will come back to haunt him, since he, too, enjoys such immunity. Imagine what a man like Joe Biden can do with this sort of kingly impunity. Instead of being worried what the next president might do with such power, get excited about what the current president might do with it. Instead of worrying the next president will pervert justice or try to subvert an election or misuse the military, let's get there first. That's right, the court has inadvertently given President Biden the very tools he needs in order to stop the personified threat to democracy his opponent represents from getting elected at all. I don't really know what shape these actions will take, but whatever it takes to defeat the evil one, do it, and do it fast before anyone sees it coming. You have all the immunity you need, and besides, as the Robert Hur report showed, even if our dear leader does something really, really bad, no one will believe it because he looks too incompetent to do things like that. And since we're on the subject, why not use this same core powers immunity to take care of the Supreme Court problem too? I mean, we've always been in favor of benevolent tyranny, our belief that properly enlightened monarch-like rulers do the right thing for the right reasons if only we can get them into suitable positions of power. Perhaps on second thought, we should consider this ruling a blessing in disguise. So let's use it before we lose it in an election. Way to go, Supreme Court. You've given us the very power we always craved but never thought we'd have, so we can fundamentally transform the United States of America, to quote from our previous presidential savior, Saint Barack. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we are so thrilled to once again offer our heartfelt praise for one of the most progressive companies on the planet, Lego. Yes, the Danish maker of those delightfully interlocking bricks upon which one must never step with bare feet, recently took another step to help usher in the gilded age of sexual enlightenment and advance the glorious rainbow agenda. As you well know, last month was Pride Month, a 30-day celebration of the holy acronym string. To celebrate, LEGO created a Pride Parade video on Instagram showing all the happy possibilities in a world of rainbow-flavored minifigs. It showed a drag queen in an elaborate headdress getting ready to strut their stuff on stage, joined by a gay cowboy, a butch lesbian, and a cosplayer with wings jumping down a giant rainbow slide to join their fellow revelers on a dance party Roomba on the floor below. I know, it's very exciting. They were joined by two blue-haired grandma lesbians, a rainbow assortment of synchronized swimmer minifigs, and to top it all off, or bottom it all off if you prefer, they openly embraced the world of furries, with figures featuring animal heads on bodies covered in alternately fur or pajamas, as is the fashion these days. Yes, once again, the thought leaders at LEGO have helped us add to the holy acronym string, which as of today at 12.05 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, has officially been expanded to LGBTQ2SIA+F for furries. All hail the holy diversity and the Danish brick geniuses who bring it to life daily in boldly colored plastic. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before you depart today, please stretch out your hands towards Sister Kavina, who has worked up enough strength to join us in person this morning, despite Zaire's recent run-in with the patriarchy. Sister Kavina was politely minding other people's business in school last week, you know, correcting them on their pronouns, chastising other students for their microaggressions, and encouraging them to breathe less heavily in a collective effort to save the environment from that deadly killer contaminant gas, carbon dioxide. So, you know, normal stuff. When a boy walked right up to her and asked her to the dance. Well, the audacity of him assuming she was straight. Unbelievable. I mean, she happens to be straight, and that's okay. Not everybody can be perfect. But it was so binary of him to just assume it, and even dared to say she looked nice that day. I know. It's ghastly. Well, do be reassured the authorities have dealt with this dangerous young man, but Kavina has not been the same since. So, as you extend your hand toward her, say a silent mantra for healing that she may be fully well again soon. Refreshments this week are provided by Hungry Hungry Hypos, the all-natural supplement powder specially formulated for even the most severe hypochondriacs. Realizing that our members worry about everything, Hungry Hungry Hypos created super healthy beet powder to ward off anything that might ail you. It can be added to an herbal tea, mixed into your smoothie, or even sprinkled on your lab-grown imitation meat product. Hungry Hungry Hypos, you can really taste the overinflated fear.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
All right. We're a little bit late to traffic. Jake, anything worth telling them on the 5th of July?
No, I think we're okay on the roadways, but just remember that Executive Landscaping is there for all your premium and commercial landscaping needs.
Very good. Steve Taylor is going to have your local news coming up next. You got a preview for us, Steve?
Well, a California town is being told to evacuate ahead of a fast-moving wildfire. That story will be coming up on Fox News, and of course, we'll have local news after that.
Very good. We have the wrap coming up in just a minute. Travis Peterson and Blake Barkley are here in studio with me. We'll have a good conversation about maybe there was some news over the last week that we can talk about. It should be fairly interesting. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Political futures can turn on a dime, or the 5th of July, with America watching President Biden's every move for signs of his fitness to serve, and today's big taped interview with ABC. England greets their new Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, after the Labour Party landslide victory ousted PM Rishi Sunak.
People here and around the country have spoken, and they're ready for change, to end the politics of performance, a return to politics as public service.
The economy, energy, and crime on their minds. Here, too, a July 4th barbecue in Philly ends in a mass shooting. 9 shot across 2 blocks, 1 dead. Police Inspector Capata Massaquoi.
It is very alarming, and especially when we had officers in the area to try to prevent anything like this from happening, and it's still happening.
America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31, 83 degrees right now and sunny. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio Pensacola. There was another data breach in our region, this one affecting the Alabama public school system. The Alabama Department of Education says back on June 17th, their IT teams had noticed something funky going on and were able to interrupt a hack attempt. Unfortunately, some data was breached before they could shut it down.
You know, like others that have been hit, other public schools have been hit, agencies, hospitals, businesses, and this has become, unfortunately, almost commonplace across our country.
That's Superintendent Ed Mackey. Here locally, there have been confirmed cyber attacks affecting the city of Pensacola, Ascension Sacred Heart Hospital, and the Santa Rosa County Clerk of Court's office. You know, with all the fireworks going on last night in Pensacola, you may have been wondering if ShotSpotter, which was designed to detect gunshots, can tell the difference. Pensacola Police Department spokesperson Mike Wood told News Radio.
Most of the time, it will determine whether it's a gunfire or not. But we're going to get those calls where people think it's shots fired. We get over there and determine that it's fireworks. So that's something that we get every year. But our calls for fireworks complaints can sometimes get backed up an hour or 2 hours because obviously we have to answer the emergency calls first.
He says ShotSpotter can detect the difference between fireworks and gunshots. Rick Scott wants us to focus this Independence Day weekend on some Americans who are not free. Senator Scott used his X account yesterday to call for the release of 8 Americans who were held hostage by Hamas. He says they have spent over 270 days with evil terrorists, and it's time to restore their freedom and bring them home. Well, looks like a fairly nice day so far. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We are going to be seeing a small chance of rain this afternoon, 30% chance overall. Temperatures warming up quickly this afternoon with a high near 93, temperatures feeling like the triple digits. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For our Saturday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 94. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with Jake Walker for traffic on the fives. Good morning, Jake.
Good morning, Steve. Looking on our roadways, we're doing well. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. Highway 29 south through Cantonment and Inslee, nothing slowing you down there. I-10 and I-110 look like they're at posted speeds. Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. If you see anything out there on the roadways, let us know about it. You can call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Jake. Right now, it's a nice semi-sunny 83 degrees at Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, and 83 in Milton at 834. Well, let's check out what's happening in the financial world. This is Your Money Now on News Radio Pensacola. The June jobs report came in just slightly better than expected. The Labor Department's report out today shows the economy added 206,000 new jobs last month. That's better than the roughly 200,000 projected, but down from the previous month. That number initially came in at 272,000, but was significantly revised to 218,000 for May. Last month's unemployment rate ticked up from 4% to 4.1%, making it the highest since late 2021. At the opening bell, looking at the numbers right now, the Dow Jones is down about 0.12% at 39,260. NASDAQ is up 0.18%, 18,220. And S&P 500 is basically flat at 5,536. And that's your money now on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, and dependable.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
I said a hip, hop, the hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap. I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week. That means we have a couple of friends here in studio that we're going to talk about the news of the week with them and with you. Today joining me, Blake Barkley, who was an intern here several years ago. And then he was our correspondent when he went to the convention for us in 2020. And then he went to Harvard and he graduated. And now he's back getting ready to go to UCLA to study the law of AI and technology and media. Do I have that right?
You got it right.
Wow. Man, that's going to be nice. All right. That's a way to pick a has-been topic. You know, way to study something that's like so 30 years ago. So well done. And Travis Peterson, our good friend, representing, I would describe the two of you as the opposite ends of the political spectrum, which is perfect. So Travis, welcome back. Good to have you.
Great to be here.
You've been working out. You look a little bit more.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll take it.
I love getting that question from people, which is I never get that question from people. all right, let's. The biggest news story of the summer, for sure, perhaps of the year, the debate performance last week by Joe Biden and former President Trump, of course, as well. We have ongoing ripples of this story, but you basically had an hour and a half on display, the worst any of us had ever seen Joe Biden look in public. And now everything from, you know, limiting his hours, going to bed earlier, doing day interviews. They're hoping to do damage control with this ABC interview today. It's going to air on this week on Sunday. Start with you, Travis. You're certainly no Trumper. You're a Biden fan or at least a Democrat.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I mean, it wasn't a good night. It wasn't a good night. I think, the way that Biden came off as just sort of, you know, he fit right into the Sleepy Joe meme, unfortunately. People are missing a lot of, you know, the fact that Trump just kind of made up stuff for 90 minutes, too. So it certainly wasn't a great night. Neither candidate, I felt, was particularly inspiring. We'll see. The good news is for Uncle Joe is he's hit rock bottom, so there's nowhere to go now but up.
It can't get any worse.
I don't think so.
I will say the one thing, and I mentioned this the other day when we covered the debate, is agreed. Trump lied or misrepresented or got it wrong a bunch of times, of course, which is par for the course for him. Biden also lied a bunch. A lot of, you know, the sort of the debate coverage media was so obsessed with how many times Trump lied that they didn't talk about all the lies that Biden told. And I thought that was an interesting failure to cover the substance of the debate while they were focused mostly on Trump's lying versus Biden's incompetence. Blake, your thoughts?
I mean, I don't think I expected President Biden to do poorly because, like most people, I've been watching the news and believing my eyes while the media has told us that they were lying to us. I never expected him to be unable to form a sentence the entire debate. And I'll disagree with the belief that this was his worst moment.
Oh,
I think
okay.
His moments have been awful for the past year. This is the first time we've ever been allowed to see him talk for an hour and a half straight.
And that's fair. And yeah, this is, to me, there's so many elements to this story. One of them clearly is the, oh my God, we didn't know story that the general media is representing. Well, that means that either you're a very bad liar and you did know, and you're trying to pretend now that you didn't, or you're very bad at your jobs if all of the rest of us could see and you're saying that the news people, the best news people in the country, couldn't figure out that Joe Biden was having cognitive problems until just now, right?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I think that that special counsel report by the special counsel is totally vindicated, and I want to see the tapes.
Right, exactly. How bad must the tapes be?
Exactly.
If they worked, because I said at the time, this is all politics. This is to show how bad Joe Biden talks in an extended session. And I thought it was purely political. And now I'm convinced it's still politically. But I think as the voters, you're entitled to see, was this really just one off day, or was this only installment number three of, you know, why did they want to hide them from us? Because they have to be horrible.
Well, I think the challenge that the White House, the people around the president have, is that they're trying to, you know, they're trying to reject the idea that he's this older guy. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't reinvent the fact that he's, what, 81?
82? Yeah, maybe. I got to check. He'll be 86 at the end of the
There's no getting around that fact. And so I think sometimes the worst thing around presidents or elected officials can do is to try to make them something they're not. Listen, he's never been a great debater. He's always had a speech impediment. He's been a stutterer. Has he missed a step? Has he gotten older? Yeah, we're all going to get older. And here's the thing. The last year and a half, as you know, if you've watched your grandparents, sometimes you can age quickly. Now, does that necessarily mean that you're not mentally fit for office? No, not necessarily. But does it mean, and 90 minutes on a debate, that's a long time. How many hours are you on the radio every morning?
Four.
And you're not quite 80, are you?
It's a lot. Andrew also doesn't have the nuclear codes.
Well, like, that's true too.
I
get the point. Yeah, but it's a. I mean, it's a. That's a lot.
It is, and I think to be fair, I'll take your side for just a second, Travis. Nobody called for Mitch McConnell to step down.
Oh, that's absolutely not true. The media was absolutely.
Oh, I'm
calling
sorry,
for
Republicans.
That man.
Mitch McConnell to step down.
Yeah.
There were critics who called for it, and I remember saying, you know, man, I don't feel comfortable about this, and this elder core in the Senate and the House has really got to go. So I tried to be consistent on it, but a lot of the same people who are now jumping up and down about Biden's got to go, I'm not sure they had the same tone when it came to Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, I think.
But the critics, the other side. But when it's partisan, it's just partisan, right?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Capitol Hill, the White House, you know, it's. There are old people serving, people that we would consider to be old. There are folks serving, and there are people around them who, you know, are working their best to keep the process moving. I think at the end of the day, someone said it to me, well, I know who Joe Biden is going to have around him, and I trust those people. The people that the former president is going to have around him, I don't know or I don't trust. I mean, it's not, you know, again, we're electing a president, but there's a whole institution of people that come with that person.
Listen, I don't want to elect a shadow bureaucracy. I'm voting for a person, and I'm not confident that Joe Biden can form a sentence, so I'm certainly not confident that he can enact a policy or a vision for this country. I don't think we're even being run by Joe Biden, because the difference between him and Mitch McConnell is Mitch McConnell got back out there after he froze,
right,
and then he spoke intelligently, and you could tell that this was a man that was still with it. Joe Biden has not come and spoken to the people until this interview with a former Democratic chief of staff.
Oh, he was out in North Carolina
the
next day.
Which I thought he was
fiery. He was very robust.
Yeah, with a teleprompter.
State of the Union.
With a teleprompter.
Listen, lots of great speakers use teleprompters.
Yeah, here's the difference, though.
You
mentioned that
he's
always had a stutter, but I watched Joe Biden in the 2012 debate when he just eviscerated Paul Ryan. It's not the same man.
To pretend that this is just a stutter
is ridiculous. It is 12 years ago, but he made a 3-year age gap between him and Donald Trump look like 30.
Well, I agree. But again, those 3 years, think about your grandparents. Those 3 years, a lot can change.
Well, but that's the reason
that's
why
the
we're
point.
So concerned.
I get it. But we are where we are.
To Blake's point, when he was running, even in 2020, I've been watching Joe Biden for years. I mean, I've been covering the White House and thinking about these issues for years and years. And Joe has always had a stutter.
Mm-hmm.
He has always stumbled. He has always made gaffes, and he's always been creepy. Okay? Just all true.
Yeah.
But this was a whole different kind of that stuff. This wasn't just more of the Biden. This was, and I think you have to judge in context against their baseline. And that was the thing that I think we noticed, especially in the last couple of years and particularly the other night. But we're going to come back to this because the ABC debate thing, I think, is... This is an amazing story to me, the idea that ABC is even thinking about not releasing the raw full interview of Joe Biden is an amazing story to me. Jake's got traffic on the fives. Jake?
We're looking great on our roadways. No accidents reported by FHP and no slowdowns to tell you about. This traffic report is brought to you by Lowe's. Celebrate July 4th with savings at Lowe's. From potting soil to appliances, find everything you need to make your home pop for summer. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
So the ABC News interview with George Stephanopoulos. This is the biggest news story of the summer, and it was a story because we got raw, unfiltered access to seeing both men, okay, and but particularly because of what it showed about President Biden. This is now, after the Robert Hur tapes, which have not been released, this is now another chance to see, well, is he really fantastic during the daytime when he's been napping a bunch and when he's, you know, and when he's sitting instead of standing, presumably, or whatever? Or is it going to be a train wreck? And we don't know until it happens. But the idea that a news organization would even consider not releasing the full unedited version of that speaks volumes about their judgment, in my opinion. Do you disagree?
I mean, I think media outlets at all levels have arrangements that they make for interviews. I've done it for, you know, clients, for causes. You know, this is on background. Hey, this is off the record.
Of course.
Right. That's, you know, if those arrangements were made, that's up to ABC to if they committed not to release the whole tapes, then
I would say no to the interview. If you're forcing me to release only an edited version, I wouldn't do the interview, because to me that is the story. The story is not the answers cherry picked out of the total. The answer is, or the story is, how he performs in the live thing. Blake,
I agree. I mean, the American people deserve to see him in a live setting. My expectations for the mainstream media are very low, so I'm not surprised, especially when it's George Stephanopoulos.
He's as an editorial position, he has taken in the last about 2 months, he's really taken an anti-Trump position on the Sunday show, which is unusual for Sunday shows. I mean, you might know it's there, but they don't come right out and say it. And he's been out and saying it for about a month, month and a half now, right?
Yeah, I think he's a convicted felon. I mean, he can't even vote for himself.
George Stephanopoulos, convicted felon?
Trump can't even vote for himself. Like, there will be no picture of him checking the ballot box.
Actually, I thought he could vote in Florida
because of the constitutional amendment, I thought.
I don't remember. I read it a couple weeks ago, and I think he will get to vote, but I don't remember the details of it. It's just kind of obscure thing. But
he's a convicted felon. Like,
for now.
Full stop.
You know, which brings us to the other big story of the week, obviously, the Supreme Court. Okay. Mm-hmm. Issues, my God, all the dump rulings that came out and some of them are enormous rulings. The Chevron, it wasn't the Chevron case, but it was a Chevron-related case. We'll get to in a second. But let's talk about the immunity ruling. The court creates this totally new construct of core powers within which the president has total immunity, non-core powers within which the president has presumptive immunity and may have immunity, but it's going to depend on a case-by-case basis, and they remanded those questions back to the lower courts for fact analysis. And then the purely non-official duties that, of course, the president can be tried for after he's out of office. But then again, since so much of the evidence related to either the peripheral, non-core, or the personal would require evidence that the court seems to be excluding from consideration, the jaded view of this ruling is they've not only given him immunity and core powers, but they've given him practical immunity and everything, because it's not even admissible, according to the opinion. This is a huge ruling. I made fun of it in Transgressors because it's not just what Trump might do if he gets reelected. It's what Biden could do now, especially if Biden's not calling the shots. Right, Blake?
I mean, it's possibly true. I think that the ruling is a lot more narrow. I have a more narrow interpretation of the ruling. It seems as though President Trump can't be tried for duties that could be official acts, things like ordering the Justice Department to investigate certain
people.
That's
right.
That's something.
That's one they specifically said is immune, right?
But things that they specifically said could potentially be tried for, sent back to the lower courts, or things like that inciting a lip speech that President Trump gave, part of the false elector scheme still, the organizing of it, pressuring Mike Pence. Those are all things that he still could be tried for.
That's true. And that's what they remanded back for consideration. That's right.
Yeah, I don't think, a president shouldn't be completely immune. None of us should be completely immune for the totality of what we do. I think they are trying to split the baby on this because there are some things that a president shouldn't be necessarily tried for, like, you know, the official functions of the office. But it's kind of a big, like you said, so much for being strict constructionist, right? I mean, like, this is, you know, this is, it used to be that the liberal courts were the big judicial activists. So and there's an interesting, you know, there's a dynamic here that I think is still, like Blake said, yet to be worked out.
Yeah, I was reading an article. It was from the New Yorker or something. They, you know, strict constructionism is dead, or, you know, originalism is dead. And I thought, well, I do see what the court might have been trying to do. And in a sense, but what they really struck down in my mind is the belief we have in things like checks and balances and accountability and, you know, separation of powers is what, as I was reading it, that's what I kept feeling is, how would you ever convict him on bribery for a pardon? How would you ever convict him on foreign influence for recognition of a diplomatic thing? It seemed to me like the Supreme Court opinion left all of that stuff to be maybes when I grew up thinking, these are kind of core things, you know?
Well, I don't entirely agree that it's getting rid of the checks and balances, because we have the check and balance of impeachment. President Trump got impeached, and you can still impeach someone.
You can.
It's just limiting the ability of prosecutors, and specifically Clarence Thomas's concurrence limited the ability of these unelected, appointed prosecutors from the ether that get appointed to investigate your political opponents. I mean, I think they're trying to strike a balance of both giving the president the power that he needs, keeping him accountable, but then also ensuring the legitimacy of our political system. I mean, that's John Roberts' whole thing, is legitimizing the court and legitimizing our system. And when we start prosecuting our political opponents, legitimacy starts fading. And so that's why I think just the entire idea of prosecuting Donald Trump has been
problematic at best. Effort. Yeah, right. And by the way, the Thomas concurrence is very interesting, because the thing he writes about specifically is that Jack Smith has no authority. And because Jack Smith doesn't operate under an existing constitutional provision, and he was never confirmed, and he looks very much like the kind of, if he were to be a legitimate office, he looks like the kind of person that should have to be confirmed by Congress. And so, you know, he's basically a private citizen bringing a cause of action against a former president in a novel historical scenario. And
like Kenneth Starr.
But Kenneth Starr was confirmed. I don't remember the details of Kenneth Starr's scenario. But there was a special counsel law that was on the books then and has expired.
Impeachment proceedings. It's not the same as a criminal.
Well, before the impeachment, Kenneth Starr was in place. So,
Regardless, Donald Trump's biggest superpower is the stupidity of his enemies. He was saved in the primary. You can watch the polling. He was tied with DeSantis. They raid his office or indict him.
Yeah,
and
that's
all of
right.
a sudden, he's Give invincible him the power. In the primary. Now his biggest benefit is that the Democrats have been lying about Joe Biden's age and clear cognitive decline, and now he's sweeping the polls, poised to become reelected.
I'm pretty sure nobody's
all
been
the
lying
Democrats
about
fault.
Joe Biden's cognitive or his age. I mean, like, the cognitive.
Really?
Absolutely have been lying.
Nobody has ever said that Joe Biden is a young spring chicken.
But
right?
That's an unfair
right
in
his
straw
meetings,
man.
He's doing somersaults in the hallways.
But then the very next day, you see him
like this in public, but catch him when he's, you know, behind the scenes with us. He's very lively in these conversations.
The country's going to have a choice between these two folks.
I agree.
It can be
your
crazy drunk uncle who's a felon, or it can be your papa who falls asleep after a big meal.
It's more like your papa who passed away for you.
I will say this. The part I agree with you about, Blake, is we wouldn't generally describe former President Trump as a restrained individual. I mean, right? He's been pretty quiet.
Yes.
And that's...
It's eerie. It's like when the Velociraptor in Jurassic Park could move
waiting.
The door handle.
Yeah, right.
It's like, what's going on?
And
to Blake's point, he doesn't really have to do a whole lot because the Democrats, we're not on our A game right now.
This is going to sound like an incredibly condescending thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I've been pretty impressed that President Trump was able to keep his mouth shut this long and watch his enemies flay themselves in the fire.
Well, some of his benefit is also that the media is more selective in covering what he says. I mean,
that's
he goes
true.
Insane on Truth Social every day, but nobody reads that.
So. Right. I think now you have to be a member to actually read it. It's so frustrating.
I don't even care.
All right. So let's talk about the other big Supreme Court opinion, though, because huge things happened at the Supreme Court this session. And the Chevron reversal is, I mean, the Wall Street Journal had it right. This is, Americans don't understand it. we don't care. It's not exciting and thrilling. But reversing Chevron deference was a massive change in the way the law and courts interact with the administrative state in the United States. Blake, you want to take a stab at kind of, I don't know, explaining it? Because people don't right. realize
I mean, why, yeah, I like what Neil matters. Gorsuch said. This lays the tomb on Chevron that nobody will miss. Chevron basically gave the administrative bureaucratic state, all these bureaucrats who none of us elect but appoint and sit in government positions in D.C. for decades, tons of power. So if you had an environmental agency look at your yard and they saw a puddle and they decided it was a wetland, if you appealed that to the court would defer to the administrative state.
Right.
Now that Chevron's gone, this reverses that. And so it's not entirely saying that these experts, you know,
have
at
no
the bureaucratic
power.
State right. have no power, but it's saying that you have to come to a court and argue for your power. It doesn't innately give it to them. So I think it's a huge victory for limited government. I think it's a huge victory for the average American, especially small businesses who don't have the lobbying wherewithal that major corporations have. And I also think that if you're a Democrat, you should be super excited because this is going to limit the power of Project 2025. You know, that whole plan to put all these conservative loyalists in government when Donald Trump wins the election.
Because they're still going to be accountable to the courts.
And yeah.
Yeah, the idea that the administrative agencies would be able to make the calls on all of these different, whether there's an ambiguity in the law or whether they're just trying to abuse the law, that there was deference given to them because they're supposedly experts, which may well be operating at a bias or outside of their coloring outside the lines or shading the nature of the lines. And now all of a sudden, look, courts are supposed to interpret law. How about that? Isn't that a wild thing? I'll get your reaction in a second, Travis. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
All right, we're looking great out there on the roadways. No accidents to report, no slowdowns to tell you about. If you do see anything out there on the roadways, let us know. 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with traffic on the fives.
Travis, your thoughts about the Chevron reversal?
If you're a K Street lobbyist, you're doing backflips right now. I mean, the Chevron reversal, I do understand where Blake is going, but the idea that, you know, all of these agencies have a rulemaking process. Congress passes a law, then these agencies have a very public rulemaking process where all the stakeholders can come in and say, here's how we think you should interpret this. Those rules are what's supposed to govern that whole sort of interpretation of those laws. So the idea that, that these are some sort of big deep state, you know, actors working in the shadows is a little overblown. But I do think there, you know, there will be some repercussions from this because agencies are going to have to figure out how to write better rules. Lawyers and lobbyists are going to get rich because it's going to make what actually goes into the law that much more important. And then with all the upcoming sort of ongoing, you know, litigation that's going to result from this, you know, we should all be careful what we wish for.
Yeah, I think that there's some element of concern because, as you say, now the lobbyists who are going to be able to shape the legislators in terms of what they do is going to be more important. But the idea that the people who were, even if they were going through a public process of hearings and talking about it, could then do what they judged best and then get that judgment deferred to by the court because they know what's best, was itself a violation of, again, that principle of separation of powers. The, you know, too much authority in hearing in any one place is eventually going to lead to bad outcomes. And to me, the courts are supposed to be the check on that, especially with unelected administrators. And now we're back to that being the way it should be, which is kind of the idea, right?
Yeah, I'll also just say let's pour one out for the poor law professors who this the Chevron deference whole concept was so convoluted and complicated that their entire legal branches of law schools built around interpreting this, and they've all lost their big. Think of the academics.
It does feel a little bit like the what is it? The Gordian knot. Is that the one where they come in and they cut one little piece and it all evaporates? And that's kind of like, this is so complicated. No, it's not. It's overturned. I always think about that when it comes to you know, things like insurance and, you know, other complicated topics where people really do make an awful lot of their legal living off of the complexity of it.
Right.
You know, and if something were simple and easy, all of a sudden, oh no.
Well, I'm glad I'm starting law school this fall.
That's right. You'll be able to capitalize.
Right.
So back to Biden for just one second. I want to get your prediction because you guys both see this very differently from each other for sure and perhaps from me as well. Travis, does Biden stay in? Do you want him to stay in? And if he drops out, who's in?
Biden stays in.
Okay, so that's it.
if he were to drop out, you have Gavin Newsom and Kamala Harris duking it out.
Okay.
To be who's to see who's going to be the nominee.
Blake, does he drop out?
He can't. If he drops out, it's an admission that they've been lying to us about his mental state, and he would have to resign. And Kamala Harris would be stained by that scandal. Gavin Newsom will not be the nominee. You can't jump over the first black female vice president.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.